office never really made anything of themselves when he was there. Like, it gets worse.
Exactly. They didn't win anything, and now he's lost. All right.
He's good hair, though. So.
Yeah, he does. Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. We start with the last skinny line. So should we make our way to... I'm guessing that we're going to make it all the way down to the last line. Rabbi Shimon ben Pazik, he have a pasuk b'divrei hayamim, amar hachi. Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, because we just discussed that somebody who's kofer b'avodah zarah, who rejects avodah zarah, is called a Yehudi. And so this little legatata, which is really a digression from the Megillah per se, again discusses somebody who was kofer b'avodah zarah, and so we kind of stick it in there. But it doesn't really, it's really a little bit of a digression from the Megillah. But Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, he have a pasuk b'divrei hayamim. Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, when he would introduce divrei hayamim, amar hachi, he would say the following: kol dvarecha, all of your words, because it's divrei hayamim, the words of the days, or the things that happen in these days. Kol dvarecha echad hem, everything is one. Va'anu yodim ledarshan, and we know how to darshan it. What does he mean? There's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim that says like this: the ishto hayehudia, his wife who was Jewish, yalda es Yared, she gave birth to Yared, avi gadur, who was the father of Gadur, ve'es chever, and also gave birth to chever avi socho, the father of socho, ve'es yukutiel, and also gave birth to yukutiel avi zanoach. Ve'ela b'nei Basya, and these are all the children of Basya, Bas Paro, asher lakach mered, who mered, married. So, this is a kind of a cryptic pasuk.
This is
because,
the foster mother of Moshe?
Yeah, foster mother of Moshe, precisely. The beginning of the pasuk mentions her as Ishto HaYehudiya, and at the end calls her Basya. So we know we're talking about Basya, or Bisya, some people say, but either way, it's kind of a strange pasuk, and we don't know who this is referencing. Anyway, the Gemara will discuss all of this. Amai karla Yehudia? Why does the Gemara call her? Why does the pasuk call her a Yehudia? So the Gemara says again, Al shum shekafer b'avodah zarah. Like we said before, anybody who's kofer b'avodah zarah is called a Yehudi. She was also kofer b'avodah zarah. Dechse v'tered bas paro l'erchotz al hayor. Bas paro went down l'erchotz al hayor to bathe on the Yaor. So Rashi learns Lirchotz al Yaor means that she was Tovel. She was Tovelis, right? She was actually bathing in Tovelis. Tovelis as a Gioris, right? Some people question how exactly she was a Gioris. At this time she was a Gioris, it's kind of hard to understand. What?
Where was the Bezdin?
Where was the Bezdin? Exactly. A lot of people say, where was the Bezdin? You need a Bezdin of three. Where was the Bezdin? So there's a lot of things. What?
This was before Hasina.
Yeah, how do you convert before there's a Torah?
In Echnami. Yeah.
Convert to what?
Yeah, converting to what?
Technically speaking, we're all fine.
I guess that's the end of the Bezdin. Yeah, dude, I guess we jumped the gun.
In Echnami. Pashas, anyway, Rashi does say it was Bitoveles. But again, she's lurchotz al hayor. She was bathing on the yor. Some people say that the yor was worshipped by the Egyptians. So the very fact that she was bathing in it was a rejection. It was a slap in the face of their deity. So that's how some people learn.
Except the Paro did that in.
That's Paro. What?
No, Paro.
Yes, right. Exactly. Zehaya or vani asisim, right? Rashi, right? Paro would say that he was like above it. He was above the or, but nobody else would. Exactly. And I heard a very interesting shot, as we learned in the previous parashios, that the Egyptians would bow down to the keves, to the to sheep. So she was lirchotz al hayor. If you take the word Yor, Yud Aleph Resh, so the letters above Yud Aleph Resh are Kaf Beis Sin. So she was Lirchotz Al HaKeves, meaning that she was rejecting the Keves. She was washing herself of the Keves, which is the sheep that they would. Anyway, cute little shot. Ba'am Rabbi Yochanan. Nobody really likes it. Okay, I don't care. Rabbi Yochanan. What? Okay, very good.
Deep.
What?
Really deep.
Very deep. I appreciate that. Yeah. What?
I think
humor.
It works with my dyslexia and illiteracy.
Okay.
That was very nice.
Well, okay, very good. I appreciate it. Fine, very good.
Very nice.
Okay, for the record, we have 3 people who approve and 2 who don't really care.
There he is.
What? Oh, there's actually more than that.
It's too late, man. It's too late.
Just give you a moral support.
You already lost it. Bob Rav Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says she yarda lirchos megilul lebeis aviha. Right, that's what she was going down to. She was washing herself of the avodah zarah. Okay. Then the pasuk says isha yodia yalda. She gave birth to this guy. Now it says the Gemara. Wait, it's obviously referencing Moshe because we don't know anywhere else in the Torah where she had a child. So yalda haribuya rabise. She raised him. She didn't give birth to him. So Lomar Lacha says the Gemara, this teaches you, Shukalam Agadol Yasam Viyasoma Besoch Beso, anybody who raises an orphan, a girl orphan, boy orphan in his house, Male Lavakasov Kilo Yaldo. The Torah considers it as if you gave birth to him. Because really that's you gave him life, essentially, right? No life otherwise. So who did she Yalda? Yered. Yered Zemoshe. Why was Yered Zemoshe? V'laminek Roshmo Yered. She Yared Lehem LeYisrael Man B'yamav. Because Man fell for Yisrael in his days. Interestingly, if you look at the Hagos HaGra, I don't know where the Gra gets this from, but the Gros HaGra takes out the She Yared Lehem LeYisrael Man B'yamav, and he learns instead that Yered is to be darshened Shehorid Torah LeYisrael. Which is interesting. But at any rate, so he was, the Yered is that he was bringing down something, whether he brought down the Mun or he brought down the
Torah.
Gosh, this reminds me of a Gemara in Tainis that we had, that the Mun was Bischus, it was Bischus either Moshe, Aaron, the Be'er was Miriam. Aaron, the Mun was Bischus, what was it?
Moshe, the Ananim.
Was it, what? The Ananim were Bischus whom?
Aaron.
Our own? Is that right?
The bear was Schus Miriam, and the man was Schus Moshe.
Yeah, the man was Schus Moshe because Moshe died.
Aaron was the Ananim.
Was the
and there you Miriam go. Was the beer.
So then very good. Excellent. So then it makes sense that the Gemara here is Darshan Shir Lehem Li Yisrael Man B'yamav. In other words, it was Schus Moshe that the man came down to begin with. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the Yered is accurate. It's accurate to call him Yered because he was really the one who brought it down. Very good. Gador. It also says that she gave birth to Gador. Who is Gador? It's also Moshe. She Gador Pirtosei Mishal Yisrael. He kind of encaged Klal Yisrael in a way. I mean, Klal Yisrael was very, they were very, they were priestistic. They were all over the place, basically. They had no no boundaries. And so by bringing,
them?
What?
He bounded them?
Bounded them with the Torah, really. The Torah, which binds people so and grounds people.
So how is that different than him? So he's bringing down, they're saying, one, he's just bringing down Stam, an idea, and then this is the idea that he's bringing down. I don't understand how you could just
well,
transition itself.
If you're going to learn that Yared means Harid Torah Yisrael, you're saying, how is that any different than being Goder? I don't know. Good question. Your question also, one second. Your question is can be asked also in last week when we were discussing Mordechai. It brings down 3 drushas about Mordechai, Ben Yair, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish. And all 3 of the drushas were referencing his tfilos. That he was mayor, Einayim Shel Klal Yisrael. Shimi is that he had Hashem listen to his tfilos, and Kish is that he would knock on the door of his tfilos, knock on the door of Hashem. So really, it's all referencing tfilo. What's the chiluk? I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. Gadar shegadar pirtasem shel Yisrael, chaver shechiber es Yisrael avinu shebashamayim. He was mechaber Klal Yisrael. He brought Klal Yisrael closer to avinu shebashamayim. So that's why he was called Gadar. Also, she gave birth to Socho, who is also, again, Eschever Avi Socho, the father of Socho. Why is he called Socho? Shenasel Hem Yisrael Kesuka, because he made Klal Yisrael like a sukkah, meaning he shielded them. He shielded them of Hashem's wrath during the times of the Egel Azov and other times, so he was a shield for them as well. And Yekutiel is also the how he's referenced. Why Yekutiel shekavu Yisrael lekel biyamav, because he had Klal Yisrael be mekaveh, to hope to Hashem in his days. All of these things he did. Zanoach, why was he Avi Zanoach? Shehizniach avonosem shel Yisrael, he cast away the sins of Klal Yisrael with his tefilos. Okay, all of these things, what is the chiluk between these things? I don't know. That's a good question. At any rate, the pasuk says she was yelled as Yered Avi Gadur, Chever Avi Socho, and Yekutiel Avi Danoach. So why does the Gemara says Avi Avi Avi? Why does it say Avi three times? Because he was Av B'Torah, Av B'Chachma, Av B'Nevius. He was the leader of his generation in all of these aspects. The Eile B'nei Basya, and then it goes on to say, and these are the children of Basya, Asher Lakach Mered, whom Mered married. Now, we don't know of anybody named Mered. We do know who she married, however. Who did she marry? Anybody know? Is it Midrashim? Yeah. Okay. She married Kalev. But anyway.
She married Kalev Ben Yefuneh?
Kalev Ben Yefuneh, who married a number of people, actually.
I thought he also married Mered.
Yeah. He did. Indeed.
Kalev was married to
He married Paro's, one other person as well.
Kalev was married to Paro's daughter?
Paro's daughter. You got
that,
it.
That means that Basya went out with them. She went out with them.
I don't know how many dates. I can't tell you that.
I heard that she went out with the...
She left with the Jewish people and they left Egypt. She was with them.
That was my understanding.
Yeah? Is that your understanding?
Well, that's what it sounds like if they were married. I never heard this before.
When was Kalev born?
I thought Kalev was married to Miriam at the time when they were in the Midbar.
What?
I thought Kalev was married to Miriam by the time they were in the Midbar.
Yeah, and maybe he was married to both.
He was married to both.
I mean, right?
I mean, you could, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty serious.
I'm not tremendously bothered by that. What? Yeah, I mean...
It's two very serious ones.
Yeah, really. Anyway, v'chi Mered Shmo, v'halo Kalev Shmo. Why are they calling him Mered? He's Kalev. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yavo Kalev Shemarod Ba'atzas Meraglim. Let Kalev come who rebelled against the council of the Meraglim. So you have two people who are Mordim, right? Who are rebelling. He was really rebelling against the rebellion. Because remember, the Meraglim was the rebellion. He said to them, Ach ba Hashem al timrodu. Do not rebel against Hashem. So he was really rebelling against the rebellion. So double negative equals a positive. So that's the end of that. That's the end of that tangent. And again, really, that tangent was brought down. Agav, the Gemara that we had before that said that Ish Yehudi, that Mordechai was considered Ish Yehudi because he was kofir b'avodah zarah. Okay. Now we get back into the Megillah. Asher Haglam Yerushalayim, he was exiled. So as the Gemara says, Amarava Shagola Me'atzma, he was actually Gola himself, meaning he took himself out of Gola. He did not wait until he was forced out. He actually was one of the first ones out.
Moshe, like, this is Mordechai.
Oh, I'm sorry, this is Mordechai. We're back to the Megillah. We're back to Megillah. This is Mordechai. So it says Hugla. Hugla is a lashon of you doing it, right? As opposed to Hugla, where you were put into Galus. He was not put into Galus. He actually was, proactive in putting himself in. He was a Navi, so he presumably knew what was happening, so he did it before it actually happened.
Physical Gullus.
Like Yirmiyahu. Physically Gullus, yeah.
Was it Lawrence? What do you...
During the time of Yechonia, yeah, he went, he was during the times of Yechonia when they were kicked out.
Because we have a tradition that a Navi can only become a Navi, Moshe aside, in Eretz Israel. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he must become a Navi in Eretz Israel, and then he retained his Navi. He retained his Nebuah outside of Eretz.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, I mean, there I see that. So,
yes. I hear it. Okay. Further it says, Vayhi Omenas Hadassah. He was the supporter of Hadassah. Who's Hadassah? Hadassah is Esther. Va'akorle Hadassah. V'akorle Esther, says the Gemara. They, in some places they call her Hadassah, and other places they call her Esther. So what's the pshat? Tani Rav Meir Oimer, Esther Shma. Her name was Esther, actually. V'lamanek Rav Shma Esther Hadassah. Why did they then nickname her Hadassah. Al shem ha-tzadikim shenikru hadassim. Because of the tzadikim who are all named Hadassim. V'cheinu omer, so too the pasuk says, v'hu omeid, who is referencing the Shechina, Hashem, omeid bein ha-hadassim, would stand between the Hadassim, referencing the tzadikim.
I don't understand that answer. There's many tzaddikim not named Hadassim. I don't understand what.
Hadassim is a nickname. It's a term for tzaddikim, and therefore, so you're saying why dafka her? Why is her she does?
Why not Miriam? Why not? I mean, I don't understand. There's like, okay, there's a lot of tzaddikim named Hadassim.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of tzaddikim not.
Yeah. Right. In Echanami. It's but the Gemara's point is that Hadassah is not her name at all. It's a nickname that's for whatever reason.
It's like an adjective in relation to her like her proximity to Nebuah. Because they're saying Hadassah is in proximity to all this Nebuah. She's surrounded by Mordecai and all these.
Perhaps that, or perhaps just the fact that she was that her. You know, it's referencing her meisim, that her meisim were as pure and as fragrant as Hadassah, and Hadassah are also what tzaddikim are termed. I don't know exactly.
Yeah. It's like a multi-part mixed metaphor kind of thing.
Mixed metaphor. Wow, that's too much for me. I can't handle that. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Hadassah Shema, her name is Hadassah, v'lama nikra Shema Esther, why then was her, was she called Esther? So her real name was Hadassah. So why then was she called Esther? Al-Shem Shahaisam Masteris Tavareha, because she would hide herself. Shenamar, Ein Esther Magedes Esama Ve'ez Muladata. Right, it says that she would not tell about her nationality. So because she was so private, she was called Esther, which is again commending her for her privacy, as we will see on Yud Gimel Amud Beis as well, that it describes that because of her privacy, she was zocha to certain things. So she was a very tzniyas woman.
Ahasuerus didn't know about her being a Yid until right before he was going to destroy the Jewish people. Or even at that point, I mean.
You know what? There are Mephoshim that say that everybody knew that she was. Everybody knew that she was Jewish because she grew up in Mordechai's house. But they didn't know where she came from exactly. They thought maybe she came from somewhere else and she was then converted. There are those that say that. So it's unclear about that, about that aspect of it. Because Lechora, people did know that she was brought up by Mordechai. Anyway, there are some very interesting Gemaras coming up about that aspect, as we will see soon. We are in the middle of the Amud.
You're right there.
Yehuda
Omer.
No, one line
below. Hadassah? One line below. Yeah, right. Omer. Rav Nechemya says, Hadassah Shema, her name was Hadassah, v'lama nikra is Esther. Why then was she called Esther? Shehayu umos ha'olam korin osa al shum estaher. Because the umos ha'olam would call her like a moon. Right, she was as beautiful as she glared like the moon. So
when I learned this like 20 years ago.
Esther was Venus. I thought the Esther.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Let me see something. I thought I saw Rashi. One second. Esther. Rashi says Yerech Yafe Kalavana.
Is it Venus a pagan god?
No, Kilavana.
Kilavana, like the moon. It's a planet, a beautiful planet. Maybe it's Venus, a beautiful planet like the moon. But there's also we know that the Gemara references a moon, calls the moon a Sahar. So I don't know exactly. Maybe it's the hair. Maybe it's a different. Maybe it is Venus. Okay.
That she was like a moon, and maybe instead of a moon, she was like a planet.
Is Venus similar to the? Is Venus has properties similar to the moon?
It's a celestial body.
That's just what I have.
Okay.
There's actual meaning for the title.
What? That's just too. I can't pass that off.
I said the Megillah talks about her chain, not a physical beauty.
Yeah. So this is not a beautiful.
This is not physical beauty. Right?
I don't think so.
I think
no.
He learned that between his second and his fourth marriage.
And we go on. Ben Azai Omer, Esther. This is very interesting. Esther lo aruka velo kitzara haisa. She was neither long nor was she short. She was neither tall nor short. Elabenanis kahadasa. She was middle. She was exactly right, like a hadasa, like a myrtle. Now, what exactly? This is a very interesting.
I think the marsha. Yeah. Here,
what do you got?
Levat.
Yeah.
Noga.
Like what?
My daughter.
Noga.
Kochav Noga, which is Venus.
Yes. What's Venus?
Yeah, there you go. Yes,
Noga means Venus.
No, I got this. Obviously, I got this in the Marsha.
Wow, this guy's learning Marshas. This guy's giving a shit. You're giving a shit next to us. When I leave. Okay. Anyway, fine. So this is a very interesting Gemara. She was neither short nor long. I think the Marsha in the back says something about the fact that tzaddikim are considered the greatest. Attribute of a person is that he is neither too tall nor too short, something like that. He references some Gemara about that, but anyway, it's an interesting Gemara. I mean, I don't know exactly what to do with
it. It's like the Gemara in Chagiga, where it's talking about like the person that goes in. It's like Mita connected Mita Hashem, so they're not too short, they're not too small, they don't have a blemish just like Hashem doesn't. Is that
could be? I don't know such Gemara, but it could be. I don't know what to make of this Gemara. I don't know what the Gemara's intent is, really. I mean, it's certainly...
Well, obviously, if you're too short or too tall, you're going to not blend in. You're not going to be snooty.
You're not
going to
be blended.
Level, on
right.
A certain
exactly.
Level.
Oh, very stand, good. Very good. All right. Very good.
Let's go. Go home.
Very good. Go home. I like that. Very good. Right? The point is that you blend in, that you just kind of you stay... very good. If Yeshua ben Karcha Omar Esther Yirak Rokas Haisa. Esther was actually quite green. Her complexion was quite green. The chut shel chesed mashuch aleha, but she had a chut shel chesed on her. So people did not see her as having a green complexion. But anyway, because she had a greenish complexion, exactly what that means, I don't know, because what does it mean to have a green complexion? But because she had a green complexion, she was called Hadassah like a myrtle. What?
I was going to say, like, it doesn't make me think of a tzedekus like Esther. It makes me think of, like, the Wicked Witch of the West or something.
Okay. Very good. It could be.
But we know Esther was anything but the Wicked Witch of the West.
We do know that. Yes, we do. We also know that Esther did not live in Kansas.
Don't judge a book by its color.
Ki ein la avoim. The pasuk says she did not have a father or mother. Ubamosa, Biavima, and when her mother and father died, so this is redundant, this is a redundant pasuk. Lamali, what do I need to say that? You already told me she didn't have a mother and father, what do you have to say? And then her mother and father died, Mordechai took her. So Rav Acha is coming to tell you, Rav Acha says that it's coming to tell you, Ibrisa, once she was conceived, Mace Aviha, then her father died. Yelazita, when she was born, Mace Aviima, then her mother died. So at no moment at all did she have a mother or father. That was the point. Mordechai took her in immediately.
Isn't her opinion that Mordechai is actually a biological father?
I don't know such an opinion. It doesn't come up here. And if there is an opinion like that, I don't know how you can say that with this pasuk. Mordechai was our biological father. But most of you have Yima. I don't know how you touch that.
Right, this is not before the Torah was given.
What?
I said this is not before the Torah was given.
So it's after the Torah was given.
Before the Torah was given, like, for example, I'm
not
Mary
the biological
father,
her husband.
Oh.
Her husband has an opinion.
Oh, yeah. We'll get right now. That's more right now. What are you talking about?
That's not a shocking. Okay.
Do not let it happen again. Not in the next 10 minutes, please. Tana, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Al Tikri Labas, El Labayas. Do not read it as Labas, El Labayas. V'chino Omer, so to the Pasuk says.
Not so exciting anymore.
This is by Nasan Hanavi. Nasan Hanavi here was giving, was chastising David HaMelech for taking Bathsheba.
I disagree with you, and I'll tell you
why. Ularash, Ain Kol. For the poor person, there is nothing. So he's giving a mashal. Nasan Hanavi is giving a mashal here to David about what he did with Bathsheba. He's trying to help David realize the gravity of his sin. So he's talking about a poor person who has this. This kivsa achas ularash ain kol ki im kivsa achas. There's this poor person who only has this one keves ketana Asher Kana that he purchased, V'yichyeh v'tigadilimo, and she lives and she was raised with him. V'im banav yachtav, and so too with his children he is there. Mipito tochal, and she would eat from his bread. Umikoso tishte, and she would drink from his cup. Uvecheko tishkav, and she would sleep at his bosom, at his side. V'tihilo kibas, and she was to him like a daughter. So says the Gemara, that doesn't make any sense. Mishum de becheko tishkav havelas kibas, because she's sleeping by his side, so she's like a daughter. How does that jive? So says Gemara, ela kibayis. It doesn't mean kibas, it means kibayis, like a house, meaning she was his, essentially his wife. Hachanami labayis, so to labayis. So there you have it, that they were actually married. Hadassah was married to Mordechai, and as we will see in the Gemara coming up on Thursday, that she would take turns between Achashverosh and Mordechai, going from one person to another person. How exactly that worked out, I have no idea. Don't worry about it. It's coming up on Thursday.
It was Ba'onis.
I understand it was Ba'onis, but you think the king is just going to let her go to Mordechai and then
he didn't know
him?
He didn't know.
What?
He didn't know.
He didn't know.
Wait, but
he was too busy getting moved up.
I thought once she was with him, she was awesome.
Thursday, not for now.
Stay tuned.
Come Thursday. Yeah, that's not going to be Thursday, but yes, Esther Park Golem High Side is absolutely, that's a Gemara. That's actually the Gemara Exodus. I don't think that comes up.
We can't have a sneak preview.
Okay. Says the Gemara. Ve'es sheva hana'aros, and she would have seven ladies with her. Amar Rava, why did she have seven ladies with her? Shehai samona behen yemei Shabbos. She would count with every woman that came to her, and every single day she would be able to count when Shabbos comes. So then she would have her Sunday lady come, and she knew when that woman left, another woman came, then it was the next day was Monday. Why exactly she needed this, I don't know. Did she not go out? Was she not able to see when the moon was changing, when the next day was? I don't know exactly. It's unclear as to what exactly. Why does she need Na'aros to signify when the next day is?
She doesn't know when day is. How does, like, if she doesn't see, like, how does she even know when it's day or when it's night? So,
with the Na'aros. I just said that. She has seven different Na'aros, one coming in every day. So she has her Sunday.
And do they come at the start of the Jewish day at Shkia?
Good. Any objection? Very good.
They didn't have calendars, man.
Are you asking if they're going Lefi Magen Avraham or the Gra? I can't answer that. I don't know how they were paskening. I don't know. This is too much for me. I can't handle this.
Tom.
What? Rebbe Rebbe Tom. There's so many shaitas over here. So many shaitas. I can't even answer these things. This is absolutely nuts. What are we doing here? Okay, so Amar Rav Dachi. Okay, so the next Gemara says,
with the Gemara here,
Vayishaneha ve'es na'aroseha, that they would, Vayishaneha is a lashon of change, that they did something different with her and her na'aros that they did for that than they did for any of the other girls. What was such a thing, a change? So Amar Rav, Rav says, Shehechila Michael Yehudi, whereas everybody else was getting fed slabs of pork, she was getting matzo balls, right? She's getting matzo balls, right? I don't know, Shiloh, gebrachs, no gebrachs, I don't want to get into the matzo balls, but she was getting good chicken soup. What? What was that? What?
It was an Ada Heksha?
It was an Ada Heksha, absolutely Ada. Everything was Ada or Reuben. Okay, we're not even going to get into that. She did not come to the shir on Wednesday night, so she was just going Reuben or Ada. That's it. Anyway.
I think it's brought down that she was a vegetarian in office versus...
Oh, that's an Eskimara. You just lost it. Shmuel Amar Shachila Kadlik the Chizri. Shmuel says that actually, what does it mean, Vayishaneha? It means that she had to change. Why did she have to change? Because they fed her the fat of a hog. So they fed her pork, basically. Bacon. They fed her bacon. There's a fascinating machlokas over here. There are those who say kadli the chaziri. It's not really chaziri, but chizri, which is lettuce. She was only fed lettuce. That's the Aruch says. But that's not what it says here. So, Rashi says, fascinating, Rashi says they fed her bacon, pork, hog, and Rashi says, umitoch onsa lo nensha. Because she was ones, she was not punished for eating it. So Shitaka ate the pork. And Tosfos says, if you look at the last Tosfos over here, on Yud Gimel, it's all the way up there. Last Tosfos, Kadli the Chaziri, the Chas v'Shalom he lo haisu amcheles. No way did she eat it. So it's a machlokas, so well, she was definitely fed pork. The question is, did she eat it or did she not eat it? And Tosfos says, absolutely not.
I mean, Rashi says, if it wasn't Rashi, you cannot believe something like that. Rashi's the only one who has the power to say something like that. So.
Correct.
Who was giving her this?
What?
I don't get it. Who was giving her this food?
The cooks, the chefs. No? Not buying it?
But she didn't have the Ruach HaKodesh like with Daniel. He had the Ruach HaKodesh. They're giving him trace to we ate the
Yeah. We're going to get there. Very good. Yes, exactly. Yes, they did know. Look at the next Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Zirunim. It wasn't pork, and it wasn't Michael Yehudi. It was Zirunim with seeds. Bechenu Amar Soto, it says by Daniel, right? This is Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and Daniel, Vahi HaMeltzar, Nosei Es HaPas. The cook, the chef, would take away the pas, Bagam, because of them, Venosin Lohem Zirunim, and instead give them seeds. And the Pesukim go on to say that they ended up being healthier than anybody else, because the Zeronim were awfully healthy. And so despite the fact, because of the fact that they didn't partake of the non-kosher food, they were healthier than everybody else. So there it is. So there's your 3-4-5-way machlokas as to what exactly she was fed. What was different about her food than everybody else? But anyway, the ladies that came to try out for Achashverosh, if you will. They were given 12 months to pretty themselves. Shishacha the Shem Shemen Hamor. They spent 6 months with the Shemen Hamor, the oil. I don't know what is the mor. How do you define mor? I don't
myrrh.
Know.
Myrrh perfume.
What?
Myrrh.
Do you know what myrrh is?
I don't know, M-Y, it's an incense, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some kind of
yeah.
It's a smell nice. It's like a perfume.
Yeah. She spent 6 months there. I guess, I don't know why exactly they needed 6 months, but that's what she was given. My Shemen Hamor, what does it mean, Shemen Hamor? Reb Chiya Bar Abba Amar Sateches, this is balsam, which is against some type of spice. Reb Huna Amar Shemen Zayis Shelohevi Shlish. It is actually olive oil that has not grown a third. Tan Reb Yehuda Oimer. This is a tangent, but Rabbi Yehuda says anfakinun, the word anfakinun or whatever the product they had back then is shemen zayis lo hevi shlish. That is shemen zayis that has not grown a third. V'lama sachin oso, says the Gemara, why did they anoint themselves with this type of oil? Shemeshiris aser, because it has the properties to be able to remove the hair. Uma'adin es habasar, and it makes the basar soft and beautiful. So that's why they would use it. What?
I heard that the women were like at first willing to do this with the hope that they would become the queen.
Yes, absolutely.
When they saw Achashverosh was basically just using and abusing them, the parents of these females tried to like block it from happening.
Yes. That was Gemara that we had on Yud Beis.
Really?
Yes. That was the Gemara in Yud Beis and Beis that said that because he was such a fool in asking for, you know, demanding all these women to come, so then the fathers of these girls would say, you know what, I'm not going to bring them to Achashverosh because he's just going to violate them and then throw them to the curb. So, assuming they had a curb back then, I don't think it was really just a, you know,
to the hay.
Yeah, to the hay, right, exactly, basically. Anyway, we digress.
I think there were curbs.
I think there were curbs
because they
I think
had
it was just flat land.
I think they had horses.
With a lot
and they
of like horse manure
stuff.
Around. That's how I picture it.
Depends what your definition of a curb is. It's a bit insulting.
Okay, there we go.
I think we can go on now. Ba'erev hi ba'al v'aborki hishava. She would enter in evening. Anybody who would come to see Achashverosh for their tryout would come in the evening and leave in the morning. Fascinating, Gemara. Listen to this. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Mignuso Shaloso Rasha.
Is this referring to Esther or all the girls?
All the girls. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mignuso Shaloso Rasha, Lamadnu Shivcho. From the disparaging words of this Rasha, Achashverosh, we actually see some Shevach. Shalohaya Meshamesh Mitasu Bayom. He would not have tashmish during the day.
What a tzaddik.
He would wait until evening. It's a fascinating Gemara. Because he's a Russian Marusha. That guy's a Russia. And yet,
well, he's running 127 countries.
There are so many fascinating things about this, because we're also going to have a Gemara in Yud Gimel Amud Beis and Vayter beyond that. Achashverosh is a very compelling character. Because what I'm seeing in Achashverosh with all these Gemaras, what I'm seeing is a guy who is, he's obviously a Russian who doesn't care for the Jews, but he's also extremely sensitive to the Jewish practices, traditions, laws, and he seems to be very, maybe it's out of fear, probably out of fear.
He was a shliach that saved the Jews.
He was a shliach. He was ultimately the shliach that, without any intent, really, not really the intent of that. And he was more than happy, as we'll see in the Gemara in Yud Gimel Beis. He was more than happy.
Was he the Shabbat that saved the Jews? Because his order at the end was not absolving the death of the Jews. It was the Jews could fight back.
Correct.
So Esther could be the Shabbat, but he, I don't see him as the Shabbat of the Jews, because then he would have to absolve the genocide.
That's a good point.
It's possible. Anyway, this is a fascinating Gemara. I don't know exactly what to make of it, but what I see is that Achashverosh is kind of poseh hashlei se'ifim over here. He's a little bit like uncertain. He's kind of uncertain. He has a lot of respect. I think a lot of respect for not kavod, but respect, meaning he's he acknowledges Hashem. He acknowledges the Jewish people, that there's something special about them. And we see this constantly throughout this theme in Achashverosh, always kind of looking over his shoulder. Like, is he doing the right thing here? The Mishteh was Kedus Shel Torah, right? He wanted to please Mordechai. Like, all these things are very, like, you know, he's very sensitive to what's going on with the Jewish people at all times. Anyway, this is another fascinating Gemara, which is really seems to be like neither here nor there. The guy is a Rasha, and he's a drunkard, and he's a boor, and yet he's making sure that he's not going to have tashmish until, well, you know, until nighttime. I don't know if it's Shkia, and I don't know if it's Mar.
Is that done with Kavana, or just his schedule?
No, it's Kavana. It's Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan's certainly saying it's, I think he's saying it's B'Kavana. But that's his schedule? What do you mean? He goes,
I mean, he had to be a pretty busy guy. I mean,
he's running.
He was the king of the world. Yeah.
But then we're going to darshan, though, that he happens to then have tashmish at night?
You have to go to sleep eventually.
That doesn't work.
I think it was very intentional.
Yeah,
I think the Gemara is pointing out that it was intentional, and I don't know exactly why, but again, it's just a very strange dichotomy with Achashverosh here. Anyway, but he, Esther, no se ischein. Esther found favor in everybody's eyes. Everybody, she appeared to everybody as if she was of their nationality. That everybody could, like, relate to her. She was very relatable. Everybody liked her.
She's one of ours.
She's one of ours, exactly. Everybody would say she's one of ours. And everybody likes one of ours, right? Everybody likes one of ours. Esther was taken to the king Achashverosh, El Beis Malchuso, to his Beis Malchus, to his palace, Bachodesh Asiri, in the 10th month, which is Huchodesh Teves. That's Teves. Why is it important that the Megillah is telling us that it was Teves? Because it's Yerach Shanene Guf Menaguf. It's a month, it's a very dark month, and it's a very cold month, where the guf is nene minaguf. In other words, Hashem set it up so that it would be ultra pleasing for him to have her with him. But yeah, Hava Melaches Esther Mikol Hanashim. Esther was loved by the Melech from all the women. Batisachin v'chesed lefanav mikol habisulos, and she found favor in his eyes. More than any of the Besulos, the virgins. So first she's called Nash. First Mikola Nash.
So she's presumably not a Besula because she was married to Mordechai. Correct.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. Presumably she's not a Besula.
And he didn't. Did he care about getting a Besula for his Malka?
Now the Gemara is going to say. Amar Rav. Rav says, Bikech litom tam Besula. If when he wanted to literally taste the taste of a Besula, Tom, with her, he was able to taste that. And Tam Ba'ula, when he wanted to taste the Tam Ba'ula, whatever this stuff means, Tam, he again was able to taste it. So she was like all appealing to him. Again, this guy's a total, he's a total bore. He's just I don't even know what the word is. What's the word for that?
Very powerful bore.
I mean, yes, but he what?
Ramon Anava brought down in a share heard a couple of years ago.
Who?
You can look him up. Alon Anava. He's a big. Anyway, Lamaisa, he brought down in the name of Kabbalah and Zohar.
Yeah.
That she only went to. What
does that mean?
Esther used to do was create a. What was it?
A golem.
A golem, exactly. A golem, a replica of herself to go to Ahasuerus. And she was never even with him. Maybe once at the end. At the very end, she had to be with him once. But all those other times, it was through via a golem. That's what he brought down in the name of Kabbalah and Zohar.
I think the Grub brings down that it was a shade every time. She
right.
Was.
Wow.
And she had all these Kabbalistic powers. And this is what she did.
Wow. All right. Go Esther. All right. Good stuff. All right, very good. So that there you go. That would fit in perfectly with this Gemara, because otherwise it's just a really... it's hard to understand exactly what's going on over here. Anyway, the Gemara concludes, Vayas HaMelech Mishte Gadol. He made a very big Mishte. Now, he wanted to find out what her nationality was. He was desperate to find out. So Avan Mishte, Ayevelo Galgele, he made a Mishte for her, hoping that would cheer her up and put her in a mood in which she would be willing to share with him what her nationality was, but she would not reveal it. Dali Karga, then...
What Mishta?
He made a feast while after crowning her, the Malka, he made a feast.
Uh-huh.
So he was hoping that the feast would...
A lot of feasts in this Megillah.
There are.
Between the two that Esther... did with Haman.
That's why we have a party on Purim.
That's why we have a party. That's why we always have parties. Dali Karga, then what he would do is he would reduce the taxes in her name, and he would say to everybody that in honor of Queen Esther, I am reducing taxes, hoping that would again encourage her and open her up a little bit. But she still wouldn't reveal her nationality. Shadar Pardishni, he sent out gifts.
How did she
get
away with that? Oh my gosh.
Wow. Shut up, Pardushin.
It's still new.
What? Yeah, it's like for the first time.
Yeah, it's like, tell me more, tell me more.
Exactly, this is great. Once upon a time. Shut up, Pardushin. Then he sent out gifts to everybody in her honor and in her name, hoping that would lighten up the mood. But Velo Galulei, nope, she wouldn't reveal it. When the Besulos were gathered a second time. Why were they gathered a second time? Azul Shakal Eitzmi Mordechai. What happened was, because the Pasuk says, Ubi Kabetz Besulos Shenis, Umordechai Yoshev Beshar HaMelech. So the juxtaposition of the fact that he was bringing in Besulos for a second time. Why? He's already crowned Esther. Why is he bringing in Besulos for a second time? And why is it relevant that Mordechai is Yoshev Bishar HaMelech? So the Gemara says, Azil Shokel Eitzami Mordechai. He was desperate to find out where she's from. So he went up to Mordechai and he said, how am I going to do this? How am I going to find out? Amar, so Mordechai says, Ein Isha Miskana Ela B'Yerech Chavirosa. A woman gets jealous when she sees one of her colleagues. So if she sees that one of her colleagues is with you, then she might get jealous and she might open up. Vafilu hachi lo galulei. And nevertheless, she still would not reveal her nationality. Dechsev ein Esther magedes meladato. Rasher tzivsa leha Mordechai, something like that. So, and then we will stop here. Now, why exactly it's relevant? Why exactly Mordechai would give this advice to Achashverosh that? Very strange. I don't know exactly. Maybe Mordechai secretly wanted Achashverosh to be with other women so that he maybe wouldn't violate Esther as much. Don't know.
Has the decree already gone down at this point?
What?
Has a decree to kill all the Jews already?
No.
Still the end of the second paragraph.
No, this is prior to all of that.
I don't understand.
So then it's not so illogical. Like, he's just trying to get her out of it.
Did
Achashverosh
know that Mordechai was Esther's wife?
I don't know if he knew that they were husband and wife, but he knew that she grew up in his household.
Oh, and also, Ahasuerus, Esther.
What?
Esther wasn't scared to, like, not admit, like, wouldn't you be, like, remember what happened to Vashti when Vashti didn't listen?
Bitachon.
Vashti had bitachon.
And she probably...
Vashti had no bitachon.
And she probably...
Vashti had bitachon in her own beauty, and that was about it.
And she probably didn't do it. Vashti did. Vashti responded to him with a major chutzpah. I'm sure Esther didn't.
I'm sure.
Esther didn't do it, like, with a bad chutzpah.
I'm sure that she did not. I'm sure that you are correct.
She was respectful.
Yes.